So we are resuming the city council meeting at 8:15, and we are waiting on council members to join us. Gotta love Zoom meetings.
You can do rooms in Zoom. I wonder if that would be an option for, have you ever heard of rooms?
I will do some exploration between now and our next meeting.
Yeah, they have like breakout rooms, and you can do just allow certain people into certain rooms. It's pretty slick.
I'll look into that.
Cool.
So I think we're just waiting on
Ashley now.
Ashley.
Did she think it was over?
I hope not.
No, it was. We were pretty clear, I think, about next step. I can text her.
No, she's coming in.
Oh, there she is.
Okay, I think we're all back together.
Okay. Do we have everyone back on this side of Zoom? Do we need to take a roll call, Jan?
Oh, that's probably a good idea. Jason Hartman?
Here.
David Lindley?
Here.
Ashley Post? Ashley, you're muted.
Here.
Joe Turkowitz?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. So business item number 5, Jewett Water Main Improvements Project Crestline Claim. We need a motion to direct staff to move forward as discussed.
Normally it's just a consensus item. You don't have to have a motion. Just
Just
announce that staff is directed to proceed as discussed. And you can do that, Mayor.
Okay, so based on a consensus achieved, staff is directed to move forward as discussed on item 5.
And that's the consensus now. We don't do consensuses in executive session.
Oh, so now we will take consensus.
Yeah, it was just a head nod from council that staff is proceeding as discussed. All right, that's good. That's all we need. On to the next thing.
Okay, the consent agenda. Approval of meeting minutes for June 3rd, 2020, and approval of vouchers in the amount of $208,979.73. Is there anything in the consent agenda that a councilor wants to take out of the consent agenda? Okay, seeing no nods or hearing no requests.
Motion.
I need a motion for the consent agenda. Can we have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, and Jason, did you second?
Yep.
Okay, motion made and seconded. Jan, would you like to take the vote?
Jason Hartman?
Aye.
David Lindley?
Aye.
Ashley Post?
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, department head and committee reports. Pat, you have any updates for the council?
Water project's moving along fairly fast. I kind of assume by at least in a week and a half, they'll be up and tying into the new water line up above, which is now live. Customers are, most of them are over onto the new line, other than a few. Both lines are still live, but we'll dismantle the other one eventually. Other than that, just a lot of trying to get caught up on land use activities and ordinances and draft ordinances and other things going on. The flagpole should be installed and ready to fly flags in 2 weeks. If not Great. Sooner. And then we'll start looking at a cable system.
Good.
To go across. So. And I'm assuming the council, I'm assuming the council knew or seen the senior pictures up on the light poles downtown. That was kind of a, I don't know if that was ever discussed with you guys, but it was kind of a last minute thing giving the graduation problems. And I think it was a good cause for the seniors at least to have some recognition this year.
The PUD was the company that put those up.
Awesome.
Ken, any legal updates?
Again, we're going to have Zoom meetings for the rest of the month. So, according to the governor.
Zooming on.
We're going to get real good at these Zoom meetings.
Old dogs will learn new tricks.
Yeah. Jan, any updates?
Just a couple. As you guys know, we have money from the Transportation Improvement Board for Garfield Street, which will eventually tie into a roundabout. WashDOT has indefinitely delayed their paver project. We spoke with T.I. Pat and I and Marla chatted about the Garfield Street project. We spoke with Transportation Improvement Board and asked them what they thought about us delaying the construction part of that project to next summer and tying it into the roundabout. It was always the city's intention to pay for the roundabout construction. We still believe that we can arrange that funding. And so TIB was very excited that we asked to do that, because they were looking for projects that they could push back a year because of the gasoline tax issues that are currently going on in the state. So we will continue engineering the roundabout and Garfield Street together, the same engineers working on the project. TIB would like us to see us bid that project out in late winter, in the wintertime, to get better quotes. And so as soon as we can, we'll get the roundabout, pretty much maybe some preliminary design and get that to WashDOT for their, make sure that we're not like in full engineering and they want us to change something. So we'll be getting that to WashDOT. Annual report was submitted. We do anticipate when phase three happens, bringing some of the office staff back. We will likely keep the office closed to the public except by appointment. We have one office staff member who has a young baby and was working on a baby at work program. And through that baby at work program, she will continue to work at home. And she'll decide at that time whether she wants to come back or not. We are busy. We get a lot of Pat Fields land use questions. Erica's fielding land use questions, and some of those from Erica get sent my way because I have access to all the files. Short-term rental tick questions are definitely up. There are property sales happening, and unfortunately, I think a lot of them are going to short-term rentals. It's pretty dismaying, but it is, I guess, the wave of the future until we, you know, regulate it.
How can you tell?
I get questions about, like I have a piece of property that's in or possibly in closing right now. They had some questions about some encroachment in the right-of-way. And so when I was looking at the property, it was very clear that there are two dwelling units on it. I did review the street file, and the city did approve those separate dwelling units. And it was pretty clear from the realtor's intention, she represents the buyer, that he was likely going to short-term rental both units. And I have new people I've never heard of calling me about short-term rentals. So there is an uptick. I don't know. I mean, I think it was part of the housing discussion. I think the Planning Commission desires to or at least some of the planning commissioners desire to talk about that under the residential section element of the comp plan. And so they'll be working on that. Did talk with our planning consultant today on the comprehensive plan, and I have a call into Ross. He was busy showing properties this afternoon, so he's a busy realtor. He's probably causing some of those short-term rental sales. The Planning Commission will not likely meet next week or in July. It will give time for the consultant and the staff to review the information that's going to be presented to the Planning Commission in beginning August 12th. I'm also in the process of preparing for what future meetings might look like, given the realization that we have a small meeting room, and even when we can meet in person, we are probably going to be required to do distancing. And so I suspect we will continue even after July 1st, Ken, a hybrid type process where maybe staff and the council are in the meeting room, and I'm gonna look into having like multiple laptops, and we'll have two cameras, and so we'll have Zoom meetings, but there'll be a group of you in one and a group in the other. People will still be dialing in, the public, and then we'll figure out how to do public hearings. Marla and I've looked at a number of how those are done. I think we can hold public hearings and accommodate everybody to the best ability that we can under these circumstances. So I think, you know, we'll be able to move forward and get those things done.
Could we utilize that room behind the council chambers for participants and maybe the camera, like a video feed?
Well, that's streaming, which involves a whole, it's easier to actually Zoom these meetings than it is to stream these meetings by camera. And I've had some experience with that at a church. Streaming can be challenging at best.
A lot of bandwidth.
And so I would prefer to try to, you know, not do that and use Zooming as our streaming mode, because when you start involving a camera, you've got to have a person behind the camera, you have to have a dedicated computer for it, and it will still glitch. And then that also probably means us signing up for a YouTube channel, which comes with all kinds of public records issues, and I know cities do it. But I think if we can find a way that limits complexity and meets the public meetings intent, then that's the direction we should head in and be less complicated. But I'm open to this old dog learning new tricks.
Anything else? Jan? Or?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Counselors, Joe, any updates?
No, ma'am.
Jason?
I've had a few meetings with Underwood Conservation and Dirt Hugger in an attempt to go after a composting grant.
Yeah.
It looks like that this particular grant isn't going to be a good fit, but we have now created a little bit of momentum, and I think we are going to pursue more composting or some version of composting in at least in White Salmon, maybe Bingen, and maybe some of the surrounding area. I don't know if it'll be curbside or what it'll look like. We're in the very early stages of a potential project, but we have Underwood Conservation on board. We have a handful of citizens who want to be involved, and I've gotten a ton of feedback from people who want some, well, I'm sure you guys have heard there's quite a few people in the community who are opposed to the burning of yard debris for a number of reasons. They're interested to have curbside yard debris pickup. The Department of Ecology seems to be on board for that. There's several federal agencies that are looking for food waste to be diverted from the landfill. So anyway, I don't know.
Jason, we
tried to take another go at a curbside compost program. We don't know what form it'll take and where we'll get the money. But apparently, according to Underwood Conservation, there's all kinds of grants out there for different ecological reasons. And maybe even Department of Ecology is interested from an air quality standpoint, not just from a public health or a landfill abatement perspective.
So Jason, has Dirt Hugger talked about a solid waste hauling permit? Because this has always been an issue with Dirt Hugger, because originally they wanted to haul. So that's why, like when we do community pride, they don't haul. We haul to Dirt Hugger.
Because of UTC, because cities can haul, Dirt Hugger can't, because you need a UTC, which is an act of God.
Right. And it's expensive.
Right. The city could require Republic to take it if we wanted to. I'm not saying we want to yet. I'm just saying we might.
Okay.
You're looking into it. It sounds like
I just didn't know if you had that conversation with Dirt Hugger and if they were actually looking at trying to get a permit.
They're not. I don't think Dirt Hugger wants to haul.
No, I don't either.
I don't blame them. But as a city, we have an exemption, a UTC exemption as a city from requiring a UTC hauler. But I think we would have to contract it ourselves. We're still looking into the ins and outs.
Well, thanks for exploring it. Ashley, go ahead.
So I'm missing something. Why wouldn't we want Republic to haul compost?
We do. We would.
Okay.
That'd be great. But they'll push back. We'll have to we'll probably have to make it a city law of some sort or a part of the contract with Republic. So one of my action items
Pat, you're muted. Sorry, Jason.
Jason, do you really think they would push back? Why would Republic push back? I don't see that. I mean, they're going to charge me to do it.
Yeah, right. Totally. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Right. And just an FYI, Jason, the city does not have a contract with Republic. The county has a contract with Republic. So for Republic to haul in the city limits, they're hauling under a separate UTC contract.
The city has a contract with Republic.
No, we don't.
So why? But we have there's a contact that's been connecting with me throughout COVID.
That's not how it works. So how it works is Republic, the county does have a contract for the landfill, but not for the hauling. The hauling is done through the UTC and by zoning. So they bid on a zoning. So the states break up in so many zones. Now, this Jason is correct that the city could decide to go back and do their own stuff, and we're not required to have a UTC license. We could do it through contract. But even this way, if we wanted to, instead of going through UTC, we could go directly Republic, create a utility district, and contract directly with Republic ourselves to haul Dirt Hugger's waste, if that's what it comes down to. I mean, there's ways. I agree with Jason. There's ways to easily make this work. So,
cool. I appreciate that. I'll call you and pick your brain on it. And also, yeah, because there's enough momentum. There's enough people trying to figure it out. I don't know what it is about this neighborhood, but maybe because it's so close to the county. But I have 10 neighbors who are adamantly opposed to people burning their yard debris. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot from Spring Street residents because, you know, there is that dynamic of seeing things right outside city limits and regarding outdoor burns that have been bothersome. So
right,
you are in a hot spot, literally.
Yeah, and apparently Department of Ecology is super interested from an air quality standpoint to reduce burning, you know, especially in the summer in, you know, I mean, obviously there are burn bans and stuff, but anyway, so it's like I've said in those past several meetings, it's ongoing. It's still in its earlier phases, but if people have ideas,
yeah,
Pat, I'll give you a call sometime in the next week to talk about it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Great. Ashley, any updates?
I just wanted to make sure that other counselors are aware that next week is the AWC annual conference, and we're able to sign up for that for free through Jan. So I'm signed up for it, and I wrote down a couple of the, let's see, on Wednesday, they have roles of the mayor and council members. On Thursday, there's advancing racial equity. On Friday, there's the Advocacy Academy. And each of those seminars or webinars are an hour and a half to 2 hours long. Most of them are in the early afternoon. But I'm looking forward to brushing up on a couple of things and learning other things about my role as a city councilor. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys were all aware of that. And then the other thing, so I wasn't here at our last meeting, and I was reviewing the video from it. And I think it was Bill that was talking about the potential for doc grade. Or he was saying it would be a good idea for us to establish dot grade is a two-way road during an emergency as part of the emergency plan, evacuation plan. And so I was just curious how we would move forward with that.
He's not on right now, Ashley.
Oh, but could other staff members speak to that?
Or well, Ken, like what would be the process? Or Jan?
Are you sure you wouldn't want it to be a one-way road the other direction?
Or one-way going down. Yeah.
Right. We'll have to talk to emergency management folks about that. But
and WashDOT.
And WashDOT.
So right. You guys got to back up in history some. So WashDOT did not like the intersection of two-way traffic, and particularly more for traffic coming downhill. They had requested the city for years before I got here and wanted the city to make a lot of improvements to that intersection because it was dangerous for traffic to pull out on that intersection the way it's designed. So in my opinion, yeah, is it possible to go downhill? But is the expense worth that to make it one way to go downhill?
Or specifically for an emergency?
Just for emergency purposes, Pat. So like if there was an emergency and we had to evacuate a people off the hillside down into Benjen.
You would need a lighting system that switched that would stop people from coming
up. Yeah, you have to have flaggers.
And yeah,
maybe it's a conversation with EOC or Jeff at Emergency Management. Don't they maintain the county plan that would include like scenarios for white salmon, or is there a city specific emergency plan?
No, but I think it does require input from the city. So before you talk to Jeff, I think you'd want to come forward with a solid plan about how that could be operated. I mean, I think if you had flaggers down there and the WASDA had already given their blessing, you could certainly, in an emergency without having lights. But I agree with Pat, it would be ideal if you were going to use it for an emergency route down, then, you know, to try to somehow in the future identify how the lights would work and how to fund those. And once
radio, solar powered and radio read.
Right.
It would be, yeah, I can't sit there and say what it would cost. It would be a little spendy, but I don't think it would be outrageously expensive.
But it's possible to do it. I mean, if we had to get people out of town, yeah. I mean, we would use dot grade.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you'd probably want to have,
we would use dot grade.
You would want to probably have a traffic engineer to help out with some suggestions about the best way to affect.
If it was an earthquake, I would not recommend dot gray.
No. Yeah. No. Lot of rock.
Yeah, go to Trout Lake.
Yeah.
Or east.
Or east.
David, any updates?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, I've been following the national conversation around policing. It's something I have an interest in, just based on my own personal background and professional experience. You know, I'm just not very knowledgeable in it. So I've been trying to educate myself. I asked for and received the White Salmon Policy Manual. This is a 600-page document. So I've just reviewed, you know, sections, the sort of hot topic areas, had a good discussion with Chief Heppner yesterday. Expect to have, you know, more. May reach out to Ken to see if other cities he's working with are looking at their use of force policies and making tweaks. I'm just in a listening, researching mode at this point. I don't have any opinions. But I think at the very least, it'd be good for electeds to at least be familiar with the policy and be able to say, yeah, I've reviewed it, it's good as is, or if not, you know, potentially recommend some changes. So just put that out there as something I'll be looking at over the next weeks, months, maybe.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just teeing off of that, ultimately, if there are changes to those policies, it will be a council-led effort. And I know I mentioned this at the last meeting, but certainly anyone else, but the counselors, if you want a copy of the policies, or, you know, like David said, he's already been jumping in on this, but I think that in line with what a lot of cities are doing right now, this is a point of focus. And I think that if you have questions or you want to see any of these and review them for yourself or connect in with David and see, you know, what conversations he's had, I told him I would share with him a list that I've started of community members that have reached out to me that do want to have contact or input if, as this proceeds and if we do settle on some changes or proposals. But as David mentioned, I think the perspective is that this is an area to look into, but to do it in a way that's very intentional for our community. And being informed and educated about what policies we have that exist and some of the studies and research that have been done in this space. So I think it is going to be something over the next month or so that unfolds. And thanks, David, for taking initiative and starting to dive in on that. I just had a few updates, but I'll keep them short because I know this has been a very long meeting. We mentioned the bike park earlier, so again, if there's any questions there, feel free to reach out, but hopefully you have a good sense of where the city stands and how that is moving forward. The mobile home zone, I mentioned it earlier, we expect that to be on the agenda for counselors to review July 1st, so at the next meeting. There are still two meetings in the current moratorium, so the hope would be that we can land on a place of accepting or taking action on a new mobile home zone before that current moratorium does actually expire. I did get some interesting updates today on the site dealing with the census that I wanted to share, in that disappointingly right now Skamania and Klickitat counties are ranking last in terms of participation for the census. We're in the 30% range. So within your circles or through the outlets that you have to just remind people, I mean, obviously the census is another thing that got lost in the shuffle with everything that's dominated around COVID-19, but you know, we are gonna try, we're working with WAGAP and Leslie Narramore down there to figure out some ways to just continue messaging through the summer and really compel people to fill out those surveys. But right now I think we're at like 37%, which is really not good, does not bode well for us in terms of getting a proper count and funding. The council position that is open from Amy's departure was posted, so we are accepting applications. Again, that process will be similar to last time. I think tonight's executive session was a good setup so that that will be a smoother process when you guys are probably doing virtual interviews for that position and then trying to have some discussion in an executive environment. Obviously, share that information if you know people that you think would be good. And I would just remind too, you know, we passed that diversity resolution last summer, and it would be great to kind of expand the reach of who might be aware or interested in that position and try to get some, you know, continue to have well-rounded representation on the council. And then one other note, you know, again, it's been mentioned, I'm sure you guys have been following it, but the cases are continuing to increase. Oregon did their pause to try to stop things down, but a lot of the conversation at the county level here in Klickitat and what's been shared among the cities is just a collective frustration still with not seeing a full onboard compliance with the recommendations, specifically mask wearing when in public and some of the social distancing guidelines. So we are right now at an early stage of looking into what it would look like if we wanted to, especially going as we anticipate phase three coming, purchase masks for residents within White Salmon, that reusable masks, what that cost could look like, and if there would be a sense that it would be beneficial to try to compel people that way, if it was something made available to them, would we see more buy-in? So that might come before the council. And likewise, if any of you have ideas on other ways, we thought about signs around town, but if you have suggestions on other ways to just reinforce kind of what we can all be doing to also be supporting these businesses that are open, any suggestions are welcome. And then just again, you know, now that other items can be added to the council meetings, if there are things that you are wanting to, that you've been working on, or Jason, you reach a point with the compost exploration, anything that you guys want added to a future agenda, just email it in. I would say to myself and Jan the Thursday before that upcoming council meeting. Right now with committee meeting, yes, Jan?
Remember that typically you want to have some research and stuff doing that. So project out when you think it might be appropriate to add that to a council meeting so that you don't send a request to myself or Marla the Thursday prior to a council meeting, and staff really needs to be able to respond to that, that whatever it is that's on there most of the time. And so that's not appropriate. So I think, you know,
the deadline is the Thursday, probably better timing is that Monday, you know, the week between meetings, if there is something you're wanting to address.
And recognizing that it might be longer, because if it takes additional staff time to research and provide the information that's necessary for that discussion.
Yeah. But again, we've come out of the critical and necessary requirement. And just a reminder that these meetings are your meetings. It's for the counselors. So if there are things that you want to be working on. Likewise, with committee meetings, we had stopped those during COVID. I would say they're still kind of in a pause, but staff is going to reach out to certain committees to get some meetings on the schedule for issues that we think now we can start revisiting. And so if there's something that you've been thinking about and you aren't hearing from staff, if you want to send me a note and, you know, we can figure out if it's something that merits having a committee meeting. But realizing that we're going to be in this situation for a while, and as some of these restrictions are loosening, it is important, I think, too, to just make sure that you guys are feeling like issues you care about or want to be working on are moving ahead as appropriate. So I just wanted you all to hear that. And I think that is it on my end. So any other final thoughts or last things for the group? Okay, then let's adjourn this meeting at 8:51. Thank you everyone for your patience.
Thanks everybody.
And endurance.
Bye.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night.